clutch.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Are we live?
I am.
Look at that shirt you got on.
Oh, you like it?
Is it new?
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, that shirt, I thought it was a jacket. I had to show that to them later.
Okay, guys, this is a reminder. The Grinch got saved, okay? Yeah. Everyone forgets that part of the story. They like the meanness. No, he got saved. And we should keep that in mind. Okay, we're in Isaiah chapter 46 today. This should be interesting. Verses 1 through, we're going to attempt 1 through 5. That's going to be our attempt today. There are just so many juicy nuggets, but the five verses go together. And so, you wouldn't think there's a whole lot in here, but I would just tell you, keep studying the Word of God, and the Word of God itself, there's three times in the book of Acts where it says, and the Word of God grew. So when you come across those three verses, put a star by it and study them. Because there's three things that causes growth in the Word of God. And when you get to 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And how do we grow? It's the book. And the more of the Word of God you put in your soul, the more it's going to grow. And you're going to see things like you've never seen before. And you know it's the Lord because you never would have thought that. Guaranteed. You never would have said, oh, I never would have thought that. But this is a thinking book. This is a book that's alive. I think Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. There's no other book like it on the planet. I might have a couple of thousand books now at home. But I will tell you this. This is the only book that's alive. The authors of all the other books are dead. And I know where a lot of them went, okay? There's a few that made it to heaven. But a lot of them did not make it. I'm sorry to say that. But I've got books of all sorts of stuff. So let's go ahead and see what the Lord has in store here. It's a great book. It's a great book. So let's read verses 1 through 5. We'll see if we can make it to verse 5 by the end here.
That's not front, right? You have to...
Anyway.
Oh, okay.
And... I'll start with the odd, I'll let you go with the even, and then we'll go from there. Okay, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 1. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, the riders were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaded, they are a burden to the weary beast.
They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the bird, but themselves were gone into captivity.
Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even and I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? Wow. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, Chuck, if you don't mind, open us up with the word of prayer and ask God's choice blessings on these books. We'd certainly appreciate it.
Heavenly Father, I'm truly thankful for this wonderful day. Thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. Thankful for this opportunity to study your word and hopefully take it to heart, learn to share it with others, and that they may repent and come to know Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to try, as far as for these five verses, I'm going to try to draw a picture in your mind so you might be able to remember them. At the time that we do the Easter story, Jesus was in the hands of Pilate, and so was Barabbas. And Pilate says to the Jews, "Who do you guys want? You want Barabbas? Or you want Jesus? Which one do you want?" And the crowd chose Barabbas. The first two verses of Isaiah 46 is Barabbas. The next two verses is Jesus. And so when we get to verse 5, the Lord is scratching his head and he's saying, "Why in the world are you guys picking Barabbas? Why did you pick him? Because he can't save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you." And that's technically what these five verses have a picture of. As far as the background of this chapter, again, it's prophetic. The Jews have been in captivity for 70 years. And in that 70 years, they've been captive to Babylon. And again, it's also prophetic because Babylon, which is Mystery Babylon in the book of Revelation, is going to strike again. And it's going to be really sad times. But the Lord is preparing to deliver them out of Babylon by the way of his servant Cyrus. And so here he is, he's preparing them to come out of captivity and go back to the land of Israel that he promised them and their forefathers. This is one outline. Whenever you do an outline of the Bible, you can follow somebody else's outline that have done it. And if that is comprehensible to you, that's fine. And if not, you can invent your own outline. Because when you study the Word of God, you're studying it for yourself so you can minister to other people. And so you need to study it in the ways that you understand it and the ways that you can share it with other people. For verse 1 and 2, I have idols cannot save you. They cannot deliver you from sin. They can't deliver you from the attack of the enemy. In verses 3 to 5, God is one that saves his people. He takes a keen interest in saving his people. Now, we'll probably have a front row seat in Revelation 19. Could be on the horses coming in and watching the Lord come and rescue Israel. Because he cares for the people of Israel. I went ahead and I did a look. According to my research, there's approximately 16 million Jews on the planet. Over 8.5 million, or over 6.5 million are in Israel. And there's over 6 million here in the States. And then the last 2 million is broken down to a bunch of other countries. Fascinating. And it makes me sad to think that out of that, 16 million people, Jews that are up, if the rapture was to occur right now, 2/3 will be killed. That is very sad. And, but God is going to save the remnant. Verses 6 to 13 is the foolishness of worshiping idols. How foolish it is to worship idols. So now we go into verse 1. There are two names that pop up real quick. Bel and Nebo. Bel and Nebo were Babylonian idols. Babylonian gods. So already we're starting off. Bel bowed down, Nebo
stupid. So I did a little research on who Bel was, and it comes from the name of Belus. And Belus was the first king of the Assyrians. And when he died, they deified him, and they made him a god. All right, fascinating. And apparently his name means Lord, and it's also a contraction of the name Baal, B-A-A-L. So when you study the Old Testament, you'll see Baal worship everywhere. And if you study Jeremiah carefully on Baal worship, you realize Baal worship is not just Old Testament. It's been part of the false Christianity for the last, 1700 years. Fascinating. It's Baal worship. When you recognize it, because they wore black vestments. They offered cakes to the Queen of Heaven. They drank offerings of blood. So you should be able to figure out who that group is and what it's connected with. All right. We also find out the people of Babylonian, since they worship Baal and Nebo, they would also name themselves after their gods. All right. So when you're reading along, one name that you recognize should be Belteshazzar. Anyone know who Belteshazzar was? That was the name given to Daniel. All right. Once you understand that they gave him the name Belteshazzar, you realize they were setting him up to worship a false god. That's why they gave him that name. And I think there was a, that's in Daniel 1:7. Another one of the names is Bela, and another one of the names is Belshazzar. And you can do your own study for all the names that dealt with the word Bel in it. And of course, if you study the word Baal, you've got the word Balaam, Baal-gad, and then the list goes endless, seems like, on with the name Baal in it. The other name, Nebo, means learning. I was fascinated to be reminded that Moses died on Mount Nebo. Mount Nebo, one of the names of the false gods of the Babylonians. And, of course, that is found in Deuteronomy 34:1. You might recognize some of the names where they named themselves after Nebo. And, of course, the one popular one is Nebuchadnezzar. So he's got the word Nebo in his name. And then another one was Nebuzaradan. That's another name that shows up in our studies. So you see the people there worship the idols. And these are the people that God used to defeat Israel. Why? Because Israel was worshiping idols. They were worshiping idols, so God let idols come in and defeat them. And so that is a fascinating study all by itself. Baal and Nebo also set up a pattern, and we'll just have to call this food for thought until you see the pattern as it goes through Scripture everywhere. It's fascinating. At daytime, we have a sun. Nighttime, we have a moon. One of them is associated with the sun. The other one is associated with the moon. I thought that was interesting. When we go into Acts 14:12, we notice that Barnabas is called Jupiter, and Paul is called Mercurius. Again, one is a leader, one is a learner. The pattern is balanced right there. When we get into the book of Revelation, and I've got Revelation 19:20 down, you have the beast, and then you have his false prophet. They go hand in hand. The pattern is all the way through Scripture. And we'll just call that food for thought. You can do your own research and study. But I didn't want to go that far with it, but I just wanted to share with you. That's what I came across. But it's fascinating. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 6, notice it said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And then when you go to verse 2, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." Again, there's the idols, again, connected with the false gods. And again, there's a pattern to it. In the 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is called the god of this world. He's the god of this world. When you study sacrifices in 2 Corinthians 4:4, we find out that the Gentiles sacrifice to devils. So again, there's the same pattern. When you and I go and knock on doors or try to share the gospel of Christ, that's the pattern you're running into because people are idolaters. We also, I think, learned the last time in, I think, Colossians 3:5 or whatever, covetousness is defined as idolatry. And that's number 10 on the Ten Commandments. So there's a pattern set up for you. So when we go into verse 1, you've got a little picture now of who Bel and Nebo are. And you know its connection with the false gods of Babylon. And so let's take a look at verse 1. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beasts. Now, what that deals with is God is telling the people of Israel here, these idols that Babylon has, Babylon is going to be conquered by Cyrus. And what they did back in that time frame is when they conquered you, they took your idols. And the idols, we find out down in verse 6 here, they're all made out of gold and silver. And so therefore, they would take these idols and they would carry them. The beast would be like, the horses, the camels, the mules, or whatever. And it would be a burden. It would be heavy. If I'm a horse and I'm carrying all these idols, it's a heavy burden. Heavy. Gold and silver are heavy. And so that's when you see the word boweth down, stoopeth. These gods of Babylon have fallen. The idols that Israel was worshiping, guys, the idols they were worshiping, fell. And the Babylonians took all their idols and carted them off to Babylon. And so now it's Babylon's turn to fall. And here comes in Cyrus, and he takes all their idols. He takes the idols of Baal, the idols of Nebo, and hauls them off to wherever they're going. Fascinating. And then I've got a reference in here for Dagon, because you see the word stoopeth and boweth down. The Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines, and they took it into their temple of Dagon. Dagon, when you study Dagon, becomes fascinating because it's the fish god. And when you study Roman Catholicism, you see the Pope, and what's he wearing? The hat of Dagon.
I was going to ask you if you're going to take your hat off and stay a while.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Sorry about that. I was in a hurry to get up here.
I could
put another hat back here. It's got a Santa Claus hat. Sorry about that. So, at any rate, though, when the Ark of the Covenant goes into the Temple of Dagon, here's their idol they worship. And when they come in the next morning, he stoopeth down. He boweth down. God is not going to let any idol stand in front of him. He is going to wipe it out big time. All right? And that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And that's the same picture we have here. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Who they really bow down to? They're bowing down to God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and nothing is going to stand in his place. When we study Philippians 2, I think 11, every knee shall bow at the great white throne judgment. No one's going to be standing, guys.
Every knee is going to bow. Every person. Zap. No idols will be standing in his presence. And it says here...
Did you mention the hat that he wears? Did you mention that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the hat that the Pope wears, yeah.
It also pictures him doing the Dagon, doing the as above, so below sign that the Pope makes.
Yeah.
And it just so happens when Dagon fell, it says his head came off and
yes.
his hands came off.
Yeah.
Like the hat and the symbols he was making, which are what the Pope does,
yes.
were taken off when he fell.
Yeah.
Just interesting.
Well, I look at it this way. The first time it fell down, that was a warning. Second time, judgment. All right? If you study Moses with the rock, first time he used to hit the rock. All right? That's judgment. The second time he was supposed to speak to the rock. Okay? No. He whacked the rock. That brought judgment. So, scripture-wise, guys, you can see the Word of God just grow on the inside of you, and you're going, oh my, oh my, oh my. And it just gets to be fun. There's something else we wanted to share here. Oh, yeah. In Daniel chapter 5, and again, I'll just give the reference, the whole chapter, verses 1 to 31. All right. The king at that point, they are praising who? They're praising the gods of gold and silver. Who's the gods of gold and silver? Bel and Nebo. All right? Now, if you discover when you study there are other gods they have, that's fine. But we're just going to stick with scripture at this point, Bel and Nebo. Okay? That's, you know, I found there's a whole lot more. But what they were doing in Daniel 5 was praising their idols. Look what the idols did. They knocked off Israel. They knocked off the Samaritans. They start listing all the people they knocked off. And before the end of the chapter, here comes Darius the Median under the supervision of Cyrus, and he wipes out the Babylonians. Just wipes them out.
Think about how often you see the gold and silver, because that in scripture, though, that represents the deity and humanity.
Yeah.
That then represents Jesus, and that's Satan's constantly counterfeiting.
Counterfeiting, yeah.
Which way?
Yeah. Well, I've had silver also be a reference to righteousness. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the gold to the deity. Mm-hmm. And since this is Christmas time, we'll put a plug in for the Lord. One of the reasons the wise men brought gold was not just to indicate Christ is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the whole works. Mary and Joseph was like you and me, broke. Okay? Broke. And the same night, the Lord gave them a commandment to go to Egypt. And so what did they use the gold for? Money. So they could hightail it down to Egypt. And I did some study there. We're only there for 1 year. But that was another purpose for the gold. So I thought that was fascinating. This can be a fun book, all right? So I'm just trying to share stuff that I've picked up on.
They probably used all three of those things. The frankincense and myrrh would have been worth a lot, too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Probably practically speaking, that's probably what they used before.
That was a cool baby shower.
Yeah, it's quite a baby shower.
Oh, amen and amen. So, okay. Now it says, their idols were upon the beasts. So what that deals with is it was taken away by Cyrus. Cyrus came in, I think it's like 538 BC, and he took the idols. Nebo and Bel went on a trip. Their idols could not deliver the Babylonians from the Assyrians. They got wiped out. Thank you. Let there be light, and there was light. All right? Now, but notice in the last part of this verse, your carriages were heavy loaded. Your carriages. That's now making a reference back to Israel. Israel, you had all your gods too in gold and silver. And they were heavy loaded. They were carried out. He says, the Babylonians, I got them.
And here you are, you guys had, you were no different than what they were. And then I have to share this thought with you, because it says, your carriages were heavy loaded. Comparing scripture with scripture, when we go into the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 and 30. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Guys, we'll just call this food for thought for you, but what was Israel involved in when Christ shows up? Worshiping gold and silver idols. That was their burden. And even the people that was broke and didn't have two dimes, you know, or two whatever, two pennies to rub together, still in idolatry. Still in idolatry. Heavy laden. The burdens that come from worshiping idols are not lifted. One of my favorite songs is Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. I love that song. I could sing that all day long. I love that song. All right? But here we are. Here's a connection with ahead of verse 1 here. The heavy loaden. And in the New Testament, heavy laden. Look at the connection with idolatry when Christ is calling them. He says, take my yoke upon you, and your burden is going to be light. Your burden is going to be light. Fascinating. And I have to throw this in real quick, because there are seven times in the book of Isaiah that we've already covered here. And I could tell you I didn't see it that deep at that point, but I see it now. But seven times, Isaiah 13:1, the burden of Babylon. Do we have any guess now about burden? Yeah. Bel and Nebo. Isaiah 15:1. The burden of Moab. We have any guesswork what they were involved in? And Solomon even built temples to their gods. Isaiah 17:1. The burden of Damascus. 19:1. The burden of Egypt. 21:1. The burden of the desert. 22:1. The burden of the valley of vision. And Isaiah 23:1, the burden of terror. Look how that opens up the Bible study for just those chapters right there. We see the burden is connected with idolatry and worshiping the God of this world and worshiping devils. That's I can't go too much further than that, but I thought I'd open that up for you because that just cracks me up. And then the last part of that verse, they are a burden to the weary beast. Now, guys, we've already said the weary beast is who? The verse tells us the cattle. It could have been the mules, could have been the donkeys, could have been the camels. But I'm going to show you a little deeper meaning from this verse. Let's have a volunteer to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18. Ecclesiastes 3:18.
I'll do it. Okay. Find it.
Yeah, it's in the Bible.
Yes, but I still can find it.
Right after.
Proverbs.
Yeah, here we go. You got it, Johnny?
Yeah. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of man, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts.
How about that? All right. Who else are beasts? The sons of men. Without Christ, guys, that's all we are. We're beasts. And that opens up another great study if you want to study men being like beasts.
what's his name? One guy was made to eat grass for like, what, 7 years?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Who?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar, yeah. Nebo. False god. Made to eat grass. And it's all, what's his name? David had some mighty men that fought lion-like men. Fascinating. Quite a study. But when you study that, they are a burden to the weary beast. Guys, in the unsaved nature, we worship idols. And that's what we have to come to the conclusion for of verse 1. Verse 2, they stoop, they bow down together, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. God is saying of the Babylonian Empire, they worship Baal, they worship Nebo, and when I brought in the Assyrian army, those idols could not deliver them. He's telling Israel in verse 1, you guys were worshiping idols. So I brought the Babylonian army in, 586 B.C., and they wiped you out. They wiped you out because your idols could not deliver you. And guys, any idols you and I have cannot deliver us. Only the Lord can deliver us. Verse 3, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Again, God is claiming his people here. Hearken. That means, it doesn't mean just to listen. It means to listen and then obey. Hearken unto me. Don't go after these idols. You guys, what are left in as far as Babylon, listen. I'm going to deliver you because I care for you. I care for you. From the time that you were born, I've had a plan for you. Verse 4, and even to your old age, I am he. And at this point in my life, I like that verse. I like that verse very much. The Lord's not going to desert me just because I got old. All right? He's still going to carry me. He's still going to hear my prayers. He's still going to answer them. Always like the one prayer that Charles Spurgeon had. On his prayer list, he still had five people that he wanted to see saved. And at the time of his death, they were unsaved. But apparently, a couple of them got saved at his funeral, and within 5 years, the other three got saved. Even though he died, God still heard his prayers, and those five guys still got saved. Fascinating. You know, God will hear our prayers. Never quit. Always pray. Be constant in prayer with the Lord with your prayers, and let him work it out. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. He said, Israel, let me be your God. Look here. I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. And I realized on studying this passage of Scripture why God let him actually have 40 years in the wilderness. He wanted them to have the problems so that he could be the one to deliver them out of the problems. They were thirsty. They got water. They were hot. He gave them shade. They were cold. He gave them heat. They needed food. He provided the food for them. They needed protection from the enemy. He gave them the protection. He wanted Israel to know his heart and to know him, that he was the great God, the great deliverer. And he would bring in them to the promised land. And guys, that's what we have to do with every problem we have, is just put it at the feet of Christ, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Doug.
He's still the same way, because, you know, when the lady was at the well there, that the Lord was water.
Yes.
Bread, you know, thou shalt, what is it, eat bread, you know, the every word that comes out of thy
yes.
mouth, you know, so whatever we need, the Lord is, you know, the Lord becomes, so it's never going to change.
Amen. Amen.
He still is our provider and our sustainer. He takes care of us.
Yeah. I will tell you this. When I catch myself in idolatry, wanting something that I really don't need,
yeah.
I feel ashamed. I feel really ashamed. And you know, why did I pray and ask the Lord in the first place and trust Him? Because He knows best. He knows whether we really need it or we really don't need it. And so I would just tell you, this is what the whole gist of these five verses has to deal with. Oh, yeah. Okay. He says, I will carry you. Let's take a look. Let's all go to Genesis 45. Since that deals with part of Israel's history when they were in Egypt. Verses 25. 45 of Genesis, verses 25 and to 28 now. I've got this one underlined. It's always a reminder to me. If you remember, Joseph's brothers lied to Jacob. They took the coat of many colors, sliced it up, poured blood all over it, and deceived his dad. Deceived him. So we come here to verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt, talking about Joseph's brothers, and came into the land of Canaan, and to Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. His sons, he didn't believe them. You guys are liars. Now, how many more lies did they tell during the time that they killed Joseph? How many more times? And the times before that, they were liars. Joseph's heart said, I don't believe you guys. Verse 27, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, I've got this one underlined, guys. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him. See that word? Carry. God said, I'm going to carry you. When he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived.
Amen.
And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Hey, guys, I've got this underlined in my notes. America wants a revival. America wants a revival. There's not going to be any revival in America until the unsaved people see the wagons. When they see that we care, when they see that we're willing to go in with them and help pull them out. When they see the wagons, they're going to say, yes, Jesus is alive. But right now, a lot of us are living like Jesus is dead, like there is no God. We're living like the devil. We're living with, what are we going for? Gold and silver. You hear it on the radio, whether it's the secular radio, where you hear the Christian radio. Buy silver. By gold. All right? That's not what God's concerned about. When you and I have the wagon to carry the burdens of the people that are out there, then we'll see a revival. Then they'll see it. And I just had to put that in there. It's there's a guy at Genoa, his name is Wayne Booth, and I looked up the name Wayne, and it means wagon. Wayne means wagon. So I have fun with them, okay? But that's what they want to see, a wagon. They don't need to see a stick and us whacking them. They need to see the wagon where we're going to carry their burden. What's their burden? How about that? They're worshiping idols. Their idols can't deliver them. But when they see our wagons, they know there's going to be help. Tremendous. And then he says in that verse 4, I will deliver you. And so start with Exodus, where he sends in Moses
and go to the end of Joshua, that whole time he's delivering Israel into the promised land, from out of captivity into the promised land. A great, great study. And then we have the final verse here, verse 5. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? The Lord has said here, guys, I don't want to be compared to idols. Your idols can't save. The word like here means to compare. To compare one thing with another. And in 2 Corinthians 10:12, let's see who's got Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Oh, no, my fault. 2 Corinthians 10:12.
For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
Yeah. Unwise, foolish. And that's what verses 6 to the end of the chapter deals with, the foolishness of idols. You're comparing God with idols. Idols cannot do a single thing. Only the Lord can do it. And it says in here, liken. Who is going to liken me to? To whom will you liken me and make me equal? The word liken here is preference. It's like my dad drew a cartoon one time. It was a grocery store, and it had all these church buildings on the shelves. And the person was going in with the grocery cart. Oh, I like this church over here. Oh, yeah, I like this book over here. I like this. What do you think is destroying Christianity today? Oh, I like the King James. Oh, I like the ESV. Oh, I think the New American Standard Version is closest to the manuscript. Comparing, comparing, comparing. And guys, that is how you lose everything you have, is by making a comparison. There is no God like our God. There is no book like our book. All right? There is one God. There is one book. There is one faith. Let's don't compare. Let's don't choose. Let's go after him. And then last of all, the word like it also means preference. In James, let's finish with James chapter 1. And then we'll close out. James chapter 1. And this is, we've heard this all the time. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Notice what he said to Israel, hearken, hearken unto me. Don't just listen with your ear, listen with your heart. Obey the book. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's the idols. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. All right? And that's how you get involved in idolatry. You hear the word of God, you discount it, and say, well, I'm going to take my preference. I think these idols can really do something. And God is telling the children of Israel, the idols can't do a single thing. They cannot deliver you from your burdens. So those are the five verses that starts off Isaiah 46. And I hope that was a blessing for you. And Doug, if you want to close this out, that'd be great.
Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for John's study of that and you giving us to be in the Word. And we just thank you for this time. We pray that Pastor has something good for us to in a few minutes.
Jesus. Amen. And by the way, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And shame on the devil.
Wow.
There we go. All right, Sam Leonard, go get your tea.